our next speaker is Canon, and he's going to be speaking about quantum mechanics, neuroscience, and emergence. He's going to start off with a sound check just to make sure that he can let him know back if his volume's okay. Thank you.
Hello. Okay. First of all, thank you for giving me the opportunity to come and talk here, and also very rigorous work done by team all the time about slide, about note and everything, you know. He's done a very big job, really. Now, at the very beginning, I would like to do some sort of delimitation, saying that I'm not the expert talking about this consciousness. Rather, this is my personal journey of exploring this subject matter, consciousness as a subjective experience. And my journey is not a spiritual one today. Today, I will go through the landscape of the cognitive neuroscience and quantum mechanics. And my journey is ongoing. It is not finished, it just started. Okay. My lecture is, I've structured this way, consciousness and emergence, and then I will tell you the latest development, only the latest development in neuroscience, because thousand research going on. It's only latest. And I'll talk about the quantum bit, qubit, and qubism, quantum basism. And I'll talk about the field concept and my concluding remarks. And at that point, I'll propose hypothesis, my hypothesis, and identify some challenges. Now, consciousness, when I go to the literature, I come up with different types of consciousness. It's an awareness, it's self-awareness, it's also goal-oriented behavior, integrated informations, because some are saying an entity is conscious, it integrates many kinds of informations, and also the experience, the most difficult one, an entity is conscious, if there is something it is like to be that entity. And from that, I picked up that the awareness and its self-reflective variant, consciousness, are not static entities, but ongoing processes. This is my position. And I will formulate my hypothesis on that basis. Okay? Now, many of you know this Necker cube. And if you look at this, if you just stare at it, a lot of people know. So if you look at this, you will see that this cube is flipping from one side to another. But our reality remains the same. But it is changing. If you look at it, you'll find this whole cube is moving from left to right. Again, then coming back from right to left. That raises the question that the people are saying that your brain can switch between one conscious perception and another without any change in the external input. And then people are saying, is consciousness really just a story that our brain tells about the sensory input it receives through the body's interaction with the world? And some people are saying about this perception, the latest development proposed by this cognitive psychologist Hoffman is saying that understanding the evolution of perception is a critical step towards the understanding of consciousness. And so we need to understand, first of all, how perception is evolving. And he's saying that evolution of natural selection entails a theorem that the probability is zero that we see reality as it is. Its probability is zero to see the reality. And you know, this Francis Crick, who is one of the co-discoverers of DNA, the structure of DNA, he says that that the seeing is a constructive process, and meaning encountering visual information, you know, it is the brain is not passively recording, rather brain is always active. It's actively seeking the interpretation. So our brain is doing lots of things before even we become something conscious. So there's the Necker cube things.
So is it turned on?
Hmm?
Is it turned on?
Okay, so for me, when I think about consciousness, because I am from the, you know, a layman perspective, is it hard or soft problem? When I look at the bird's eye view, I'm looking at the consciousness, I am or a machine is looking at the consciousness, and it is looking at the different organs to find out consciousness, you know, inside our brain. So it's the bird's eye person. And then another consciousness thing is the frog's eye view. Somebody jump inside the brain, try to find out the consciousness, looking like a frog's, you know, horizontally, and looking at all those neurons are moving, and brain itself is soft, and the neurons are functioning just like a software. So people are thinking, probably the consciousness is not a hardwired thing, it's a software thing. And then, if we look at this genes perspective, then we can see that everybody's consciousness is slightly, it looks like a different things, you know, the different people, the different consciousness about the same thing, you know, so the genes perspective, like that. So it will be hard if we sort how we are looking at it and thinking about this consciousness. Okay, now my emergent idea of consciousness is developed from this, from the Big Bang to the Big Brain. You know, if we believe this hypothesis, everything started with the quantum fluctuations and the universe is evolving, and Big Brain is coming from small to big, and everything is emerging from these quantum fluctuations. And as a result of that, I am saying that consciousness as an emergent property, and I look at these emergent things many, many ways, but I just present here the seven ways. So one is the Virginia Woolf in 1920s, she started writing about different novels and saying that I will throw away all table and chair, and now I will think about the conscious emergent, self-emergent, you know, emergent nature of consciousness. And that is, she did some of her novels, and one is, I can say, the Jacob's Room and Mrs. Galloway, where she actually addressed the emergent self-consciousness. Darwin's evolutionary theory emerging from the very beginning, not only Darwin, Haeckel and others, within the evolutionary biology. Penrose in quantum cosmology started thinking about emerging the cosmology, cosmic universe, from the conformal cyclical cosmology. That is the theory. Lawrence Krauss in nuclear physics, he is talking about the emergence of different particles from the interaction between electron and positron pair, developing, emerging. David Eagleman, the neuroscientist, he is talking about the emergence of the nature of consciousness, and he is presenting the different ends, they are working together, so different ends making a big organisms, and they are working together, it's an emerging nature. Francis Crick presented this case about the emergent nature of consciousness. He's saying there's a benzene, six molecule combining with six hydrogen molecule, and we are getting a liquid compound of benzene. So benzene molecule is more than the sum of its parts. The different nature of benzene molecule, we can predict using the quantum mechanics. and there are several software now available to looking at the structure, orbital structures and bondings, and from that we can predict the properties of the bending molecules using the quantum mechanics. Wheeler did it. He's saying that quantum experiment shows how time emerges from entanglement, like gravity emerges from space-time curvature. That is the gravity is emerging from the space-time curvature. Gravity is not pulling, rather gravity is pushing. So that notion of pulling, that apple coming down the Newtonian, it's changed now. Now the gravity is something pushing towards the ground by the space-time curvature. So this is the modern definition of the gravity. So this is Wheeler-Dirich. So that the gravity is emerging from the space-time curvature. So this is my emergent construct. And my proposal in terms of consciousness is a wave. I'm thinking about it. Just I'm speculating, you know. I'm thinking that consciousness is just like a wave. But wave can differ in a different lakes. If you look at the three lakes, you look at the waves, you look at the wave as slightly different. But these are all waves. But waves is different. So you could think about all those lakes as a subject. So different subject, different patterns of the wave, and I'm implying this wave implies in my mind at this moment, because my journey is ongoing, it's a quantum field. So that is my emergent nature of consciousness at this moment. But I'll develop it. Okay. So in neuroscience, I need to tell a lot of, but I just can't. I just remove a lot of things. There are three ways at this moment, all those things are going on in the neuroscience. One is from experiment to theory. So, Crick and Koch, they developed the neural correlates of consciousness. And there are a lot of experiments going on in this regard. From theory to experiment. So this comes already, Mike probably mentioned this, global workspace model developed by Dan Barnard and others, and Daniel Dennett's multiple draft theories. I'm not going into details of this because time is limited. And then I like this, the Giulio Tonini's integrated information theory. I like because there are some experimental proof, some aspect of this. IIT has got an experimental proof. So, okay. Now, another is third way they investigate consciousness as a variable. It is going on even in Oxford University, is going on. That they are investigating consciousness as a variable. As for example, we are very happy, we are crying, we are laughing. So, these are each of these a variable, considered as a variable. And they are investigating what happened within this brain. If we very happy, feel very happy, then what is going on? Yeah. So this is they are investigating like that. So the each of variable they are considering. Okay, somebody is saying this is very, very red. And as soon as they are saying very, very red, what is going on? Why they are saying very, very red? So trying to find out, you know. So each of the variable, individual variable, Susan Greenfield, the one, the professor involved with this project, and Leavitt experiment, we know many of them, this Leavitt experiment, who come back with all those similar sort of idea and saying that consciousness has no vote, but consciousness can battle. This Leavitt experiment. So they did another journey. And they use different modern technologies, you know, magneto encephalogram, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and TMS. They're using one after another, try to find out. You know. They want to catch the consciousness. But the things can move, you know. It can, you know, this consciousness can change all the time if some stimuli is coming, you know. So if you look at this,
What do you think?
I'm in the Oval Office.
Great improvement.
I'm in the Oval Office, and basically I'm talking with Putin in Russia. You know, the lucky Trump was not there, so I just sit down and then, okay, I know the story of this. So I got a prior knowledge. So my neuron will work a certain way when I look at this. But when I saw this photograph to my wife, who is also sitting in this audience as a participant, right? She said, "Oh, you and they are, why you don't take me?" All her neurons become, you know, excited, and neurons started giving her different signals. So stimuli, you see, even the stimuli become different, you know. But because these are dictated by some other things, prior experience and other things, I know. So this is just to show you the example. But I know this story. The story is actually the Bill Clinton and James Patterson, they wrote a novel about the, you know, this president is missing. So, and in a book fair, Frankfurt book fair, they set up like this. They sang the president in book fair. I was there in the Frankfurt book fair. And they said, okay, if you want to take photograph, you can come and take photograph, you know. This is just like your Oval Office. And I did that, you know. But I know that story. So when I look at, I have no stimuli about this. My neuron is working in a different way than other, you know. So this is the stimuli. And so that is the neuron. That neuron. That neuron is taking at some step. Probably heart problem is different a little bit, but it is a stimuli, and this neuron. A neuron is a cell that carries electrical impulses, and every neuron is made of a cell body, dendrites, and this and that. These are all the processing things, those you know. But the main point is here is we've got 86 billion neurons in our head. We are carrying all the time these 86 billion neurons. And these neurons are passing electrical signals, and there are a lot of subjective issues there, you know. If you know this, if I discuss them, it will take a long time, you know, because this axon can vary man to man, you know. This axon is influenced by the glial cell, there is a cell called glial cell, and that glial cell, different man to man, you know. So as a result of that, the thickness of this axon is different. As a result of that, the electric signal that is flowing through the neuron is also different, you know. So there is a subjective nature here that influence. Okay. And also there is a chemistry here, because the neuron, when it's jumping from one to another, it needs a chemical here, and which is neurotransmitter. Without neurotransmitter, electric signal can go to another neuron. Okay, so this is a basic function, but there are many other things, the action potential. I just skip because of the time. Okay, now, we have seen, experimentally, we have seen this. We have seen that in our brain, there is a delta wave going on when we are deep, unconscious, and dreamless sleep. And then the neuroscientists, they have measured this. It's a 1 to 4 hertz. Heart is second per second of wave going on. So my wave idea is coming from here. I said wave. So that wave, I have seen this wave inside our EEG, electroencephalogram. We have seen this wave. So the beta wave, there is a theta wave going on when we are light sleep or meditations. There is alpha wave going on inside our brain, which is when we are relaxing. But when we are very, very conscious, that is the gamma wave, which is 30 to 70 hertz. That creates the consciousness. We have found somebody saying he's conscious about something, saying, oh, this is very nice. And electroencephalogram is showing the wave, the gamma wave, 30 to 70 hertz. So this is the experimental evidence of the consciousness or unconsciousness or other things. You know, so that's the reason I just show you this. But there are several other results happen. Okay, and the source of the Oxford University. Now, there is another thing is going on, and very, very interesting. I come across 700 research papers. I come across, but it started in Italy, University of Parma, a class of neurons that fire both when an individual performs an action and when the individual observes the same action performed by someone else. There is an interesting thing going on, and they have done experiment with a monkey. But I think with a human being also, sometimes this sort of thing going on. When you look at somebody, but when you fall in love with somebody, these sort of things are going on between neuron to neuron. And they are saying the loops exist between brain. The same thought and feeling can arise in different minds with invisible network filling the space between them. And that things I can interpret using quantum entanglement and quantum tunneling. That phenomena, I'll be able to interpret this. That can happen between two brains, or multiple brains. So that research going on, and they have convinced the world, so they have got million pounds of research grant for expanding their research. So there is a very interesting development in recent time. Okay, now the challenge in this case that I have found is that we need a precise map of neural connection. We don't have at this moment. We want something like a double helix of neuroscience. That is what we need. We don't have at this moment. We have got 86 billion neuron connections need to be explored so far. Until 6th of July 2019, we have discovered 302 connections. We understood only the details of the strength of these connections, whether they are influenced by the gene and their modular network. We have found, the scientists they have found and published in the Nature, that there is a node inside the brain, and also the node is connected to different modules inside the brain. And these are connected. These nodes and modules are discovered after analyzing 10,000 of functional magnetic resonance image. After analyzing this, they have found this. So we know 302 connections. We need to find out 86 billion. So that is our big challenge from the neuroscientific perspective. Yeah. Okay. I'm not telling more about neuroscience now. A lot of doctors here, I think, know much. Now this quantum built in quantum based on why quantum mechanics, people say. The quantum mechanics plays a role in the brain, since quantum mechanics determine the shapes and properties of molecules like neurotransmitters and proteins, and these molecules affect how the brain works. As for example, influence of morphine on the level of consciousness. So quantum mechanics has a role to play, but we have to explore this. Okay, now look at this. This is the Penrose triangle, and we can see this impossibility is a holistic view, but possibility is a localized view. If you look at the whole triangle, it is impossible in practice to look at this. But if you look at the every corner of this triangle, then it is possible. So what it implies? This implies that if we try to find a location of electron, so we have to look at the location, not the whole of the system, so we will not find the electron. We have to go to the location. That means, already discussed by Paul probably, that wave, collapse of the wave as soon as you observe or something like that. You know. But another notion of quantum mechanics, possibility is a holistic view, impossibility is a localized view. Another notion. If you look at this image, if we say that we have particular duality of electrons, then this wave nature of electron can only be seen if you look at the holistically. Then you can see the wave pattern. But if you just go to a one position, you can see one particle. You will not see wave. The possibility is a holistic view. Impossibility is a locality. But there are two notions of this quantum mechanics, and we use them mathematically in interpreting different quantum calculations and other things. Okay, now already you have heard about Penrose and Hammersmith discussions, but you already know that. So this is the Penrose did. Penrose initially started doing this from the from the space-time geometry, because Penrose initially started about his cosmological scale, and then he come back with he jointly worked with Hemaroff, and then he developed this. Already he has said, I'm not reading this, rather what I'd like to say, the last line, the recent development is next segment. He calculates the quantum events in microtubules survive 10 to the power minus 13 seconds to then arrange that 10 to the power minus 20 seconds. This suggests this is the quantum coherence time inside microtubule. So therefore, Chagmas rejected the Penrose proposal because our brain works in such a way that it needs more time, more coherence time needed, not such a fast time, like 10 to the power minus 13. As a result of that, Penrose's plan has been rejected. And I have not seen any defense from the Penrose. Not yet seen. But another new thing came, and there is the nuclear spin quantum processing brain. It's a quantum spin dynamics. And the research is carried out by the Fisher in the University of California. And I have some communication with him as well. And he observed that, first of all, they started with a rat, and they found the lithium-6 stimulate more than lithium-7. Now, lithium-6 has a spin half, nuclear spin half. So, and he found that the lithium-7, the quantum coherence time is 10 seconds, but lithium-6 coherence time is 5 minutes. That is good for quantum cognitions of these sort of things, you know, for the conscious brain, something like that. So that time is useful. And Fisher identified the phosphorus as the only biochemical elements that have got a spin half. So phosphorus can. And then I made some personal communication with him. So why not oxygen? And he replied that because oxygen, remember, in our body we have 65% oxygen. So why not oxygen? Because oxygen spin is zero. So when you calculate the nuclear spin of oxygen, you will find it that is zero. So we need a half spin. And that is a very interesting discovery. And that he mentioned this, that the coherence times must be maximized. And they come up with saying that the bone mineral calcium phosphate molecule, known as Poisson molecule, it can increase this sort of thing. Okay, my time is running out. And then another idea thing, the quantum Bayesian, because we are always talking about subjective consonants, so therefore subjectivity, probabilistic, you know, this normal probabilistic statistics doesn't work, you know. So this can be a quantum Bayesian, which is saying, you can see, that the wave function encodes the probabilities for the outcome of any measurement and observer might perform on it. Interpret the wave function's probability as Bayesian probability. Wave function does not describe the world, it describes the observer. Quantum mechanics is a law of thought. Quantum probability is subject-dependent. So this is a good idea. And according to Qubism, you can see the wave function is collapse. Is simply the observer updating his or her beliefs after making a measurement. So you can see that observer dependent, and we need this statistics in order to address subjective consciousness. And from that point, I come up with, this is not actually the field equation, but the Einstein equation to mc squared is a simple scheme where we can see, if we think about the mass of neuron, then it is interchangeable with this electromagnetic field, because we know that we have seen the electromagnetic field inside our brain function. So these are interchangeable. And when we think about field, we don't need to think about physically though, because field can accommodate non-physicalist approach as well. Because field is, because I said field is, people consider it as a non-physical as well, or sometimes as a physical as well, because there is a photon which is a field, energy is working there, basically. So from this, I don't use a quantum, because quantum field equation is a this sort of long equation, but just a simple scheme that I'm arguing here that neuron can interchange with the energy field, and which can be a non-physical. No need to think about it, a physicalist something. Okay, so my concluding remark is, every part of our body is in connection in every other part. All living organisms continuously emit something, you know, of light, of some forms, and they can coherence and communicate with others. And biophysics are saying it's a biophoton. Okay? Parrot. Consciousness arises when the brain's simulation of the world becomes so complete that it must induce a model of itself. That is some people's saying, including Richard Dawkins also saying this. So if I publish it, I should quote it and write Richard Dawkins' name there. Okay. Now, I am saying the nuclear spin dynamics can explain the consciousness processing in the brain. The spin dynamics is not independent of other part of the body. A new discipline of quantum neuroscience needs to explore this matter further. It is not just neural correlated consciousness, rather other part of the body also contributing to this consciousness process, because the calcium is coming from the bone. So, the concept of entropy, somebody already mentions, but then, this is another point, but I didn't explore this more. The concept of entropy can be utilized for the neural connection modeling and interpretation, because we have seen that we increase entropy, then at certain stage, we can get the high consciousness, you know. So there is entropy related to the configuration of the neuron, configuration, that is related to entropy. Cubism can contribute to the interpretation of subjective consciousness. We need to write more equations. I've done one, just, okay, if I enjoy something and then to calculate the quantum basism approach and I get a result 14%, not good. Need more. Okay, some aspect of consciousness, such as loss of consciousness, can be explained by Thomas's approach of IIT, Integrated Information Theory, and it has been observe, you know, mainly the loss of consciousness stage. The Thomas's calculation of phi is related to the configuration that has been observed from the magnetic resonance imaging study. The theory of mirror neurons can explain some aspect of consciousness. Quantum entanglement and quantum tunneling can explain the binding mechanism for it. Unconscious can spill over into conscious thoughts. Also, a conscious mind steps in only after unconscious processing has taken place. So, we need to understand more about the unconscious state of the brain, our silent thinking partner. Is reality intrinsically random or fundamentally interconnected? And I argue that it is interconnected. And I agree with philosopher Heidegger that self does not exist in a vacuum. Hence, my hypothesis is the consciousness, a self-reflective variant of awareness, emerged from the interaction of neurons and their electrical and chemical impulse governed by quantum spin dynamics. It emerges like a wave emerges in a lake. The wave manifests itself as a field. The field can interact with other fields that generate from the whole system through quantum wave resonance. And hence, and effect that is needed for this manifestation. But this is my working hypothesis, and I will do more. Okay. But however, I am aware of some challenges defining consciousness, what to look for if we go inside the brain. So there is another thing. In order to understand what it is like, require a predictive model. In scientific term, I want to predict what is going on inside your brain. Now, which is based on all possible connections between 86 billion neurons. Counting one neuron per second will take approximately 2,700 years. Each neuron is connected to 10,000 other neurons. If we count one connection every second, it would take 3 million years to complete the task. Our progress today is 302 connections. Estimates of the human brain's memory capacity vary widely from 1 to 1,000 terabytes. For comparison, the 19 million volumes in the US Library of Congress represent about 10 terabytes of data. So, clearly, of objective perspective of brain is intrinsically subjective. You see, 1 to 1,000 terabytes, different. Somebody is 2, somebody is 3, somebody is 10. Right? There is a conceptual gap between science, which stands for objective measurement, and the conclusion we can draw thereby, and consciousness, which is a synonym for subjective experience. So, if we want to think about scientifically, so my first question will be, how does the brain process information? Which is easy, please. We can use the simulation techniques, and we can test our theory, because we have to develop a theory and we have to test it with the science. Now, what physical properties distinguish conscious and unconscious systems? This is a little bit hard, because we need to understand all these connections. A theory is testable with brain readings. And then how do physical properties determine qualia? Some experiments are going on, but theory is partially testable. The question mark still there. And why is anything conscious? This theory is completely untestable in scientific area. Okay? So, therefore, how the water of objective brain events is transformed into the wine of subjective consciousness is a question that will remain unanswered for a pretty long time. Okay? References, but last not least, thank you for listening. You can see that lady, when I ask her, my sweet brain, I don't get any response. But when I say, my sweet heart, she is all laughing and responding. So I don't know where our mind lies. Is it inside heart or inside brain? Yes. I don't know.
We have only time for a quick few questions, so if you want to ask Ivan's first, if I could ask you to keep your questions very brief, please, and you can keep your answers very brief as well, please.
Thank you. One thing we haven't really heard today is a clear definition of consciousness. So we have your hypothesis of what consciousness is. But we had something that was fairly close there, which was awareness and self-reflective variant. Consciousness, though, consciousness as a variant of awareness. Yeah. Could you say some more about that, please?
Yeah, I already mentioned that I have found the five definitions of consciousness. One is the awareness, an entity is conscious if it reacts to stimuli in the world. Another is self-awareness, an entity is conscious if it reacts to and can tell others about changes in itself. I've got goal-oriented behavior. And that is, an entity is conscious if it takes intentional action or achieves goals. And that is integrated information. It's saying that an entity is conscious if it integrates many kinds of information. And the last one that I said is experience. An entity is conscious if there is something in its life to that entity. So, five ways we can define consciousness at this moment that I have found in the literature. Yeah.
So we have time for just for one more quick question from Paul, please. If you can please keep it quick.
I was very interested in your theory of mirror neurons, and you mentioned that there's a field that connects or waves that connect. Could you elaborate on what kind of fields you think those are?
Okay. Now, neurons. Neurons are working in a different brain, and they are generating actually electromagnetic field, because there is a spin dynamics going on there inside our brain. Now, initially just thought that in wet environment, they don't think quantum mechanics will work. Then people, they gone from the outer shell of the atom, they go to the inner nucleus inside, and they found that the inner shell, the nuclear spin, can remain intact a long time, and it is maximum there from the 5 minutes, you can say. So there is a nuclear spin going on, outside electron spin, and generating electromagnetic field. And that electromagnetic field carrier force is photon. So that is, in two brain, there is a photonic existence, and they can be entangled according to their spin, and they can remain there entangled a pretty long time, you know. And that way, they can connect each other. That is it. And surrounding this environment, it's generating a field, and that field, it could be the gravitational field, because Einstein mentioned that every particle has a gravity. So, everything is responsible for gravity energy. And that is Einstein equal to mc square. But we could add the momentum within this equation and make quantum field equations. And quantum field theory has been proved, you know, not proved inside human body, but it has been proved, you know, practically by Feynman and others, and a lot of investigation going on in CERN. I believe CERN as well, and I've seen the work there that is going on, and what quantum field theory is predicting, they are getting there. And they have discovered Higgs bosons, and there are several other particles there. So the quantum field theory, which is the two part, quantum electrodynamics and quantum chromodynamics, these two part is a giantly producing the QFT, quantum field theory. And I am thinking that there are some sort of quantum field here going on. Obviously, neuron, brain, everything is fine, but on top of that, we need a binding problem. We need to solve the binding problem first of all. And then we need an effector to express this binding, so the quantum field can solve this binding problem. And then we need an effector to express these things. And that is still, to understand this and predict and develop the theory, we need more times. You know.
Thank you.